The last time that I went on retreat, I'm thankful I went, I'm sorry to say, it was way back in 2019, before the pandemic began. I look forward to actually having an in-person retreat again soon. But I went to the Society of St. John the Evangelist, that Episcopal monastery in Cambridge you hear me reference regularly, and I spent part of a week there, and I had this lovely monastic cell looking out towards the Charles River. It was beautiful. In front of the window, there was a desk. On that desk, there was the tiniest of pots. And in that pot, there was a succulent plant. That poor plant looked like it had not been watered in weeks. The soil was dry and dusty. The plant was looking a little puckered and shriveled. And so I took it upon myself during my retreat to tend that plant. But more than trying to bring that plant back to vigor, the image of that plant became central to my contemplation and my prayer during that week. I went to that retreat at the beginning of my sabbatical that year, and I was tired. And I also realized not only was I tired, but I had been busy. And that there are times when I had gotten busy and I had not been so faithful in quiet contemplation and time with God. Maybe I had rushed through prayer. I was feeling a lot like that plant looked, dry, dusty. And then it was a reminder to me in the course of that retreat that it is through prayer, contemplation, through the reading and studying of Scripture, through the sacraments, that I am nourished and fed. That we all are nourished and fed. That these things have the ability to assuage our deep thirst for relationship with God. They can restore us, just like that plant was restored after being given some water. As I was thinking about today's sermon, I had a text in my head, which is from the hymnal supplement, Wonder, Love, and Praise. It's a text written by Carl Daw, who happens to attend the monastery regularly, and it expresses our deep need for God. The text says, and I quote, "As panting deer desire the water brooks, when wandering in a dry and desert place, so longs my thirsty soul for you, O God, and longs at last to see you face to face," unquote. Though just now I realized I could have just quoted the hymn we just sang, which has very much the same kind of text. That image of the deer in a dry place longing for the water. That longing is that same longing we have for God. It is that deep yearning we have for communion and relationship with God. St. Augustine says it this way, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it rests in you." If we are not attentive to our interior lives, if we get busy and neglect our spiritual lives, we can become like that poor plant, dry, thirsty. Lent is the season with the invitation to open ourselves so that we come to be able to understand and name our deep need for God. And we do that through time, through some space, by stripping away things that distract us. That space helps us to see and understand the ways that we long for God and the ways that we need God. So in Lent, we can be honest about how deeply we desire God, but also the ways that we might fill our lives with actions and pursuits that are not about God, but ultimately are about trying to fill that deep desire within us. In the wilderness of the season where things are stripped away and there is quiet, we have the ability to once more experience the joy of relationship with God. So Lent is that time to examine our lives, to uncover what we hope for, what we long for. It's the time to name the places and the ways that we ourselves are incomplete and that we thirst. This is the season to ask, what are the ways that we faithfully respond to God's invitation to drink deeply of the Holy Spirit? But to also ask, what are the ways that we seek other pursuits to fill that deep hunger within us? Lent is the time to open ourselves to the truth of our need and desire for God, just like that deer in the dry place. It is only God alone who can assuage our deep thirst. I say all this because our lessons today, particularly the lesson and the gospel, have that image of thirst. The people of Israel in the first lesson are thirsty. They've been journeying through the wilderness, and they have come to a place. Moses has led them there after God frees them from slavery. They've come to this place where there's not enough water. They panic. They're worried we are going to die of thirst. And so they quarrel with Moses. They accuse him of bringing them out into the wilderness to die. They cannot trust that God will provide. So Moses goes to God, and Moses is worried. He's afraid the people are going to stone him in their discontent. And God tells Moses what to do. Take that staff, the same staff that parted the Red Sea, strike the rock, and water will flow out. And so Moses does, and the people can drink. In the panic of their thirst, the people doubted Moses, and they doubted God. They tested God. They were afraid they were going to die of thirst. God wouldn't provide. Now, God judges what is called their rebellion. God is displeased with the people for their lack of trust. Moses, in fact, calls the place Massah and Meribah because the Israelites quarreled and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" But though God judges the people, though God is unhappy with the people's testing, God is faithful. And God loves and cares for the people and provides them water. Our psalm reminds us of what happened at that place and calls us to act differently. In the psalm we chanted, "Harden not our hearts as your forebears did in the wilderness at Meribah and on that day at Massah when they tempted me. They put me to the test, though they had seen my works." And so we're called not to do that. We are called to trust that God can and will provide for us. We are not to rebel in our fear, in our anxiety. Will we do this faithfully? Not always. It's just the human condition. We will, of course, stray. We will at times forget to fail. We will fail to trust God. We will forget God's promises. We will even rebel against God in our own ways. But God promises still to love us and care for us. And God will judge us when we turn away, but God does so with compassion and love and mercy. And God does that so that we can then be brought back to God. God judges us so we can be changed and transformed into the people God creates us to be. And so God invites us in those moments to repent, to literally turn back to God, to turn back to our relationship with God. And will always love us in those moments without fail. And will give us what we need to turn back. It is really only in God that our deepest thirst and longing can be satisfied, that we can be well watered and thrive. In our gospel today, Jesus encounters the Samaritan woman at the well. She also is seeking water, and she's come to the well around noon, at the hottest time of the day. That tells us something. That is not the hour to be lugging water, which is very heavy. There's a reason she's there at that hour, and it's probably she's trying not to be seen. She likely is carrying some shame, and we hear this in her story, some shame about her life, her past behavior, and has in some ways been separated from the community around her. So Jesus encounters her at the well, and though it's forbidden both by religious practice and by custom for him to interact with that unnamed woman, especially because she is a Samaritan, she is an outsider, yet Jesus speaks to her. He acknowledges her. He engages her. He sees her. Jesus has conversation with her and doesn't give in to those judgmental practices of his day. And Jesus seems to know the woman before she speaks. He knows who she is. And then, as she tells him she's had 5 husbands, but the man she's with now is not her husband, Jesus doesn't judge and condemn her. Instead, Jesus offers her living water, water that will quench her deepest thirst once and for all. And of course, she asks Jesus to give her this water, and comes to see through that conversation that he is the Messiah, the Christ, the anointed of God. She understands who he is from that interaction. But she doesn't keep it to herself. She goes back to the city and tells other people about Jesus. And because of that, they come. They come and see, and they believe in him. Just as Jesus does with that woman at the well, so Jesus does with us. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows our stories, the burdens we carry. He knows our history, our experiences. He knows our joys and also our sorrows. He knows those things we are not proud of. And Jesus comes to us as we are, offering us living water, the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that dwells within us, guiding us, inspiring us, leading us in relationship to God, even praying for us when we cannot ourselves. And so in Jesus, the woman at the well finds acceptance and welcome. She's understood. Her life story is not judged. And she can let go of that shame she carries and believe in Jesus because she knows in him compassion. And in that, she can then invite others to come and see who he is and to worship God in spirit and in truth. Jesus extends that same invitation to us, to you and to me. Jesus comes to welcome us with acceptance, to give us the water of the Holy Spirit, that water that assuages our deepest thirst. Jesus does come to judge us, but does so with love and compassion, to see us as we truly are, and to love us more than we can comprehend, in order for us to become free, so that we can become the beloved child of God we are each created to be. Jesus knows the ways we thirst for God, how our souls are restless apart from God. And Jesus comes to fill that emptiness. Jesus comes offering us living water, water that wells up even into eternity with God. And so in this season of Lent, as we walk this Lenten journey through the wilderness, may we remain faithful in our practices and disciplines, stripping away what distracts us, allowing God to work in and through what we are doing this season. May we honestly see and understand how deeply we long for union with God, how we are dry and parched in places because we are apart from God. And may we also see the ways that we mask that with other pursuits, things that actually harm us and lead us away from God, so that that emptiness can be revealed and we can allow Jesus to fill it. Jesus stands this day at the well of living water and invites us to drink deeply from that cool, eternal water. Jesus judges anything that takes us away from the love of God with mercy and compassion, and gives us the strength we need to repent, to literally return to God, to walk in Jesus' way of love, to know the joys of relationship with him. And so let us respond to God's invitation to live rooted in prayer, contemplation, the study of Scripture, giving alms, fasting, and loving service to those in need. It is in that path that we will find abundant water, that we will find fertile soil for the roots to be deeply connected to God. Our deepest longing in that place will be filled by God, and our soul will indeed be at rest in God. And our thirst will be quenched by the living water Jesus offers. And then, like the woman at the well, let us put down that bucket and turn away from the well, and go and tell other people what Jesus has done for us, how Jesus knows us, how Jesus loves us, how Jesus invites and welcomes us. And through our witness and through our invitation, may all people come to the waters of eternal life that Jesus offers everyone. Amen.